The Abbott government has set the scene for a very tough first budget after confirming a blowout in the deficit to $47 billion, compounding to more than $120 billion over the next 4 years. Treasurer Joe Hockey says all options, including deep spending cuts, will be on the table as the government sets about returning the budget to a sustainable surplus. We'll hear from opposition leader Bill Shorten after eight, but first we're joined by Assistant Treasurer Senator Arthur Sinodinos, who's speaking with political editor Alison Carabine.
Arthur Sinodinos, good morning.
Hey Alison, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Senator. All options are on the table. The opposition says you're laying the groundwork for deep and brutal spending cuts that will affect every Australian. Will those cuts include the National Disability Insurance Scheme?
The point I want to make to the opposition and to your listeners is that we will do nothing which cuts across our election commitments. It is important that people understand that, for example, on the National Disability Insurance Scheme, we're fully committed to the rollout. What we are doing is carefully sifting through the evidence that's coming through from the launch sites about the potential average cost of delivering the scheme, the potential coverage in terms of eligibility, and we're seeking to make sure that we deliver a scheme which is as cost-effective as possible while meeting the needs of the constituency that we've identified, a very important constituency that we want to look after going forward, but we won't be able to look after them if we design a scheme that is not fiscally sustainable. So today, for example, Mitch Fifield and I are chairing the Standing Committee on Disability Reform in Melbourne, which involves the State Ministers for Disability and Treasury, to talk about how the NDIS is going and how we make sure we strengthen its capacity to meet the needs of our fellow Australians while making sure that it's done in a value-for-money way.
And that value for money, that way, could that involve some sort of a cap on support or maybe slowing the rollout of the full NDIS as you have a close look at the early results?
What we're doing is committed to rolling it out to meet the legitimate and appropriate needs that have been identified, but we're going to do it as efficiently and as effectively as we can, because if we can't do that, we will disappoint those people because we won't have a sustainable scheme.
In another area, the government has pledged not to cut health or education, but the MIEFO confirmed a number of measures announced by Labor, such as $100 million for Westmead Hospital and $1 billion for new trade and training centres. They won't go ahead. How does that fit with your pledge not to touch either health or education?
My recollection is that in the forward estimates in health, our policy decisions involve a net increase in spending of about $38 million or so.
Why are you cutting money to Westmead Hospital?
What we've done is we've not proceeded with some commitments of the previous government and substituted some of our own commitments, including around areas like juvenile diabetes, for example. So if you go through the list of items, you'll see that there have been areas where we have cancelled decisions of the previous government because we're making savings, but on top of that, also committing redirected funds to our own priorities in those areas.
Now, a couple of the other areas that may be in your sights. The Treasurer was saying yesterday that much of the projected growth in spending is from social programs, not just education and health, but also welfare. Joe Hockey has previously called for an end to the age of entitlement. So where does that leave payments such as family tax benefits and childcare support, both of which have blown out? Could they be targeted by a Commission of Audit?
The Commission of Audit has broad terms of reference, but subject to meeting our election commitments, they will have the job of looking through the efficiency and effectiveness of government spending across the board and making sure that we deliver it in a way which is cost-effective and appropriate, and where there is inefficiency and where we can make genuine savings and long-term savings, subject to meeting our election commitments, we will do that.
And that includes family tax benefits and childcare?
I'm not going to get into the ancient political game of ruling things in and out. What I can give you is an assurance that we will do things consistent with the election commitments.
And the government doesn't want to also get trapped into setting a timetable for a return to surplus, but the Treasurer was also calling on the public to support the hard decisions that are in the offing. Arthur Sinodinos, if you want to take the public along with you, then doesn't the public have a right to know when there will be some gain from all the pain?
A couple of things on that. We can bring forward when we can return to surplus. If Labor agree to $20 billion worth of savings that are locked up in the Senate, which they and the Greens are refusing to pass. So everybody has a role to play. Yes, we have to have a conversation with the public about what is needed to be done, and that conversation will occur over the next few months. There's not going to be a vacuum till the budget. We're going to be talking to the Australian people further about the challenges we face and how we meet them. But Labor can come to the party as soon as today or tomorrow and agree to pass a whole series of savings options that are tied up in the Senate, including some measures which they in government themselves proposed. If they want to be consistent, if they want to start a new line in opposition of being consistent, then the way to do that is to stand by savings measures that they themselves proposed in government.
But without a specific surplus target, how much discipline will there be on the government to actually do what you say you are going to do?
The whole point of the process of Commission of Audit will culminate with us laying out in the budget our medium-term strategy, our budget rules, and from that you'll be able to see how quickly we can potentially return to surplus and under what conditions. But it's very important that we have the benefit of that work. And as I said before, there'll be no vacuum. In the meantime, we will engage in an ongoing conversation with the Australian people about the challenges we face and the best way to deal with them.
And now that Maifo is out, Joe Hockey says he's drawn a line in the sand from the Labor years. Does that mean we can now call an end to the blame game? The government now has ownership over the budget, whether it's the good, the bad, the ugly?
We didn't create the mess, but we've taken the responsibility for fixing it. I'm paraphrasing some lines that Peter Costello used in 1996, and we are in that position again, and we are taking the responsibility from now. These will be our decisions as to how best we do bring about budget balance and the surplus and over what period while meeting the commitments we made to the Australian people.
The government also has responsibility for the Holden closure in 2017, or at least responsibility for the policy response. The Prime Minister will today announce support measures for Holden workers. Will there be significant dollars attached to the package?
I can't go into the package. I'm not across the full details. The Prime Minister's been working hard on this. He will announce it in due course. The point I want to make about our policy on manufacturing generally is that this is about managing change. We're living in an economy where we have to keep increasing our productivity and competitiveness, because the other ways, the traditional ways of increasing our income over the next few years are not going to be as easy to rely upon as they have been in the past, like the terms of trade. So our manufacturing policy is how do we create sustainable competitive advantage in this new globalised economy. So for us, this package is about how we promote building on our strengths in areas like South Australia and Victoria, and it's about how we recognise the attributes of those workers and focus on achieving real jobs in this new, more globalised environment.
Yeah, good luck with that. Arthur Sinodinos, thanks for your time and all the best for the Christmas season.
You too, Alison. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
As Assistant Treasurer, Senator Arthur Sinodinos speaking there to political editor Alison Carabine. Michelle Grattan's next. It's 13 minutes to 8.